Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things, mate.
Yeah.
With me today.
That's me.
That's you.
It's me.
You're not with me.
You
are with me.
I am with
you. You are with me. Is the J-Man, Jack Manuel.
That's my name.
Rocky start, mate. How are you?
It's always a rocky start, Nick. I think when you're wearing clothes, it goes a bit better than your robe. I'm just going to, like, the statistics. I'll look back on podcasts.
I think it might be a mental state. Like, yeah. The robe is a metaphor.
Yeah.
For me being a lazy piece of shit.
I agree. You are a POS. For those that couldn't see on the selfie that I did just post, Nick is wearing a wonderful, glorious, large robe.
Feel it, mate. Feel it.
It's nice.
Very soft.
It is incredibly
and
soft.
And I got it from Kmart for like $10.
Kmart
has some amazing
shit. Kmart's pretty goat. And for those that are American listeners, Kmart is a different entity. Kmart's more like Target in America. Like, that's it. That's the equivalent. Like, people like fawn over Target, the snacks, the cheap deals.
Okay.
Target's
a bit upscale for us. Like, that's how bad Australia is. Target's like upscale.
It's like Big W, Kmart, Target, like Meyer, David Jones.
Sure.
But if you guys want to chat about department stores in the off season, we need some topics, guys. But we got a bumper episode before that happens. Nicky boy.
That might be a bit of a stretch to talk about department stores on a basketball podcast.
Get a different demographic going, Nick. Come on, draw them in.
We'll see how we're going. All right, you can contact us at the J-Man JBT or at JBT Nick. Mate.
Yes.
I'm growing.
I'm
growing.
You keep
I
going
think with... I lost another follower, but I gained two.
Well, just keep going. I'm going to look at it.
So that's at the J-Man JBT or at JBT Nick. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network and news website. We can keep up to date with all things NBA. All the off-season is there, including some blockbuster trades that have happened, which we will get to. So make sure you follow them as well, at OTG Basketball.
You're only on 62.
Oh, I lost another one. I was at 63.
Poor
I was at 63.
You yes, have a nice
poor
bar.
Me. Woe well is
nice
me. DSGN Tree, designtree.com/offtheglass. You can pick up some dope merch.
There's a new Utah Jazz one, Spider Mitchell. It's pretty fuego. So Utah Jazz fans get on
fuego.
It.
Fuego. Look at you.
I love... I'm
you embracing your Manuel.
Shut up.
all right. You can like us on Facebook and give us a follow.
And you
and
can
like
DM
there.
Us there.
We're, you can DM
thank
us
Thank you
there.
To the we Jumper have, Network.
Yeah, we have been... Should we mention... We should,
yeah, Jumper should, Network. Thanks for jumping into the DMs. We are now part of their wonderful Australian website and their podcast network as well. But obviously the email as well, nicholasjbtpodcast@gmail.com. See, that's how you get through
Very
it quick.
Very nice.
Get through it quick so we can go to the Busy Man Mile scale and you can explain it.
All right. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT-created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact.
And if you don't understand it, just buy the
t-shirt
on dsgntree.com and it just solves everything. And it gets us some sort of revenue for our sad, decrepit lives.
All right, mate. Via Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated.
And I'm sure
SI.
A lot of other sites.
Plenty.
The Rockets trade for Russell Westbrook reeks of desperation.
Reeks. It's a strong, strong verb.
It's very emotive.
It is incredibly emotive.
It's very visual.
Yeah, it's visceral.
Ooh.
How you like it, yeah?
I like it.
You're going to call the episode visceral, aren't
you? I don't even know how to spell it. So I couldn't even write it down.
V-I-S-C-R-A-L.
F-V-I-S-C. Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those weird words. But on this, Nick, I think it's... This one's tricky for me because I've had some time to reflect on it. I was pretty harsh on it when I jumped on the live NBA
100%,
outlet.
Yeah, like the initial reactions to this was... Why?
Like yeah, what is
Why?
It doing? Yeah, what is it doing? But I sort of get it, you know, taking a step back now. So I'm going to go Twitter fact for this. I think it is still an era of desperation because, you know, everyone else made moves and Daryl Morey's like, oh, I want Jimmy Butler. I want this guy. Any star who is available for trade, Daryl Morey's like, yeah, we're going to get him. Yeah, we're going to be in the market for him. And Russell Westbrook, and there were minor sort of murmurings of him. Like, we've chatted on the podcast for the last couple of weeks and it's been, you know, the Miami Heat train. We brought up, like, you know, Detroit and these other sort of teams. But the Rockets sort of swooped in. They have a pretty nasty sort of hole. Obviously, they got off the Chris Paul contract, sitting out to OKC. But it is a desperate sort of move for the Rockets because there are so many other teams now in the Western Conference that are making their moves and elevating themselves, from the Clippers to the Lakers to the Utah Jazz. The Denver Nuggets are banking on continuity and the addition of Jeremy Grant. So, I mean, those teams automatically, for me, are better than Houston Rockets right now. So, for me, they're fifth. I think I said on the outlet that I think their ceiling, their utmost ceiling, if everything goes well, if, like, you know, the Doctor Strange style, that one scenario out of 14 million goes well, they could finish second. But that's just for me. And, like, I mean, you said the Wizards would finish second and Dwight Howard with the best player of the year.
I think, given everything, they could finish first.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
But it's not going to.
Okay, it's
just
not.
Like the Wizards could have finished second. It wasn't going to. You kidding?
But there's
like that was if, like, all the gelling issues that needed to happen, obviously remaining injury free, which did not happen in the Wizards season.
Get that as a soundbite.
but things happen in the NBA.
They do.
Things happen across the season.
A lot of things.
Nothing
happen.
Goes as rosy as you think it will.
Yeah.
And the Wizards have taught me to expect the worst.
Essentially. So, but the worst case scenario for this, Nick, it's pretty bad. Russell Westbrook's always on a poor contract.
Yes.
Schematically, you know, the offensive and defensive systems don't necessarily, you know, fit what is going on. But I think in a similar sort of way for Russ, it's similar to sort of Kyrie Irving now. You know, he wanted to be in Houston, and OKC gave him the destination that he wanted. They got a nice return with the picks and, you know, the Chris Paul contract, which is a little bit less. But he is now going to have to buy in and change himself in a similar way to what Kyrie Irving is in Brooklyn to sort of prove the naysayers wrong. You know, obviously, he said after the playoff sort of loss to Portland, he's like, you know, I got to get better at my shot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an element of self-awareness that I think he's starting to get, but it needs to increase exponentially. And, you know, there is ways where they can make this work. You know, Russell Westbrook with, you know, three, four other shooters around him provides him with the space to sort of really hit and attack at a high level. Obviously, he still has athleticism. You know, there's a stat that we argued about before we jumped on NBC Sports via Tom Haberstro that, you know, he had his lowest amount of dunks for the season since in his entire career and didn't have a dunk at all in the Portland Trailblazers. You know, obviously age and everything and fit with Paul George, you know. But now, if we see that number remain, then I think that it'll be an indicator of the fact that the Houston Rockets underperformed because this system now allows him to really showcase it. I think there's going to need to be some minor tweakings. I think that the isolation system around James Harden, I think he needs to play a little bit more off ball. I think Russ needs to be more engaged as a defender. And, you know, who knows, they might get that one seed, like you said. But it is still a desperate move by Daryl Morey.
Obviously, I mean, he's trying to keep this championship window alive.
Yeah.
And they are a better team without Chris Paul, with Russell Westbrook.
I dispute it.
If you just... This is just from a sheer
talent.
Sum of the parts.
Yeah.
So Russell Westbrook right now, I believe, is a better player than Chris Paul
the
moment.
That's true.
And I'm not a big Russell Westbrook
You're
fan.
You're not, no.
So I can still appreciate the man. He's a beast.
The talent, yep.
But it's not as simple as that. The teams are not as simple as sum of the parts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, there's some multiplication in there.
Yeah.
Some division.
Yeah, maybe even a bit of algebra.
Potentially.
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 Maybe some Pythagoras theorem. A squared plus B squared equals...
Q.
No, it's C squared!
Anyway, it doesn't matter. yeah, there is so much more in there. I can sort of see this going in a similar vein to Kyrie, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
New situation, like fresh, great GM,
yep.
Great coach.
Yep.
So, like, all in all, a good situation to be in. He's reunited, I guess, with his I assume they're friends. Like, yeah, well, everything like, I've heard is that they're friends.
Yeah, they literally, both of them said, like, you know, it was Russell Westbrook's destination that he wanted to go to,
yeah.
And James Harden was a big part of the process.
So there you go. So, like, it's something that he wanted to do. I don't think he's like, carrying OKC could have been a physical and mental weight for a very long time. And now he's moving to a situation where there's less pressure. I think there's less pressure.
I disagree.
He is not
vehemently.
You reckon?
Yeah, because
there's championship and success pressure.
Yeah,
but individual pressure on Russell Westbrook, given the season he's just had,
he still averaged a triple double throughout the season.
Yeah, sure, but he averaged like 13 points. It wasn't 13 points, but
whatever.
Like,
yeah.
It was a low amount of points because he couldn't shoot. I think the expectation from him going into next season is going to be the same season.
I think the expectation will be higher. I think expectation will be much higher. I think the expectation will be that
expectation of him is to.
I mean, yeah, your
he's starting to drop off. But I think given the system that he's in, obviously motivation is a big deal. He is one of those players who can pop when he wants to. And that's the thing. It's the motivation. It's the team that he's going to, a good organization, playing with his friends. Same thing with Kyrie. It's the same thing.
I think that the pressure on Russell Westbrook is going to be greater because he was a god in Oklahoma City, like the mythology around him. And he could just do whatever he wanted. You know, the 2016-17 season where he averaged that triple-double and got the MVP. You know, there was no pressure on them going into the playoffs against Houston where they lost in five games. Like, there was, when you're the underdog, and, you know, Russell Westbrook is sort of just the criminal underdog that is always just like, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm in a less marketable city and I'm going to do it for you guys. But now, I think with you know, expectations comes pressure. And Russell Westbrook, you know, is not necessarily a guy over the history that has been able to live up to that. You know, his postseason performances haven't been amazing. And I think it's, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, you know, defense and fit, coaching, and just execution in a lot of ways. And I'm so excited for the regular season coming up ahead. And should we get to the Chris Paul side of things?
Just one more.
Do it.
I'm not sure that, like, public perception of Russ right now is at its lowest.
Is it?
Of course it is. Are you kidding? Every single bit of media I have ingested has saying how this was a bad trade. Russell Westbrook is on the
did
decline.
Did you listen to The Ringer?
He's an incredibly overrated player.
The Ringer loved it, the trade. Justin Verrier and Chris Ryan.
Kevin O'Connor hates more than me.
Yeah,
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, but like, I was listening to the Ringer stuff, and they were like, they love the trade because it puts them back in contention. Whereas,
sure, I agree with that, but with the whole pressure thing, like I said, public perception of Russ has never been at its lowest, so there's less pressure in that sense.
Yeah, I get it to an extent, but I doesn't mean I agree with it, but. We'll get to Chris Paul's side of things. And Nick, Chris Paul's time in OKC will be short-lived.
This almost seems fait accompli, so I'm going to go Wikipedia fact here.
Yeah, so it's almost fait accompli.
Almost. That's what I said. Wait, did I say it is fait accompli?
I think I corrected you, and I made it sound...
Almost fait accompli.
Yeah. Have you said fait accompli because I say it a lot?
It's a good phrase.
Yeah. You say a lot of... You myriad... all the words that you...
Nah, bullshit.
Myriad all the time.
You did not give me
I'm
myriad.
Pretty sure I could put myriad on docs
no
and stuff.
No way.
A lot of, like, the high-level English lang
English lang.
That you use is because of me. But I love it. And I say a lot of dumb-ish because of you as well. But it's wiki. Why is it wiki?
Because, I mean, every report I've seen is saying that OKC want to trade him. But,
yeah.
I mean, who's going to get... Who's going to take him?
There are disputing reports that apparently Miami doesn't want him. Or they only want him if they don't have to give up anything in return.
This is what I mean. Like, I said last week that a team was going to overpay for Russell Westbrook.
And a team did.
And a team overpaid for Russell
Holy
Westbrook.
Holy moly, because... give me some horns or something, Nick, because Nick was right. He was right on a take. Nick was right on a take. Well done. Well done. It was bound to happen. At least once.
But because Russell Westbrook is that type of player.
Yeah,
Chris Paul
isn't.
He's not that type of player.
Well, yeah, I think as if you're 33, great, 34.
Great point guard, like point god. Yeah. Like, I firmly believe in the point guard, Chris Paul. But he is not a dynamic player that can bring life to an organization.
I think, like, and despite the fact that Miami isn't willing to pay a lot, I think that Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler would be a sort of interesting combination.
Sure, but the Thunder want to stockpile picks again.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to want... three,
and I don't think
at
Miami,
least three picks.
I don't think. Oh, I don't think they're going to want three. And then they got two and some swaps for.
Oh, it was some swaps, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah, okay.
I think that, you know, if I don't think Miami can offer picks either. Maybe there's a three-way deal involved with.
I don't think they've got any more.
That's what I mean.
More
yeah.
Picks, yeah.
But you know, I'll throw something at you just weirdly, Nick. Who would you rather have next, just purely for next season, Chris Paul or Goran Dragic? I would have Chris Paul.
Yeah, that's actually a good question.
I would have Chris Paul. But I think it was just two seasons ago where we were arguing on this podcast about the fact that Goran Dragic, I think, was like an injury replacement for the All-Star over Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
So, and now he's sort of like, there was rumors that he was going to get a ship to Dallas, which I think would have been a nice fit alongside, you know, his fellow Slovenian teammate in Luka Doncic. But I think Chris Paul still provides you with a level of intelligence and basketball IQ that not many players in this league
definitely.
Have. And I think that makes up for some of his deficiencies, obviously, with his age and
he
such.
He can't be relied on as a crux, though. And that
and that's what you have Jimmy Butler for.
But this is what I'm like. What I'm saying is that OKC are going to demand a price for Chris Paul that sort of insinuates that he will be the crux of your organization.
Should they lower
a team, a team that doesn't have a point guard,
yeah.
that really desperately needs point guards, but there's not many teams out there that are like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thunder will shop with them. And they may overpay for this point guard.
Should they lower?
It is what it is.
Should they lower those expectations? Should Sam Presti lower them?
I certainly think so.
Should they just look for
some
expirings?
They can't have 20 picks in the next 5 years.
They can.
They can.
But Sam Presti can do what he wants in terms of how he rebuilds the team. But yeah, I think that this is. I mean, I don't know how short lived it will be. I don't think he's a long-term fit. I remember, like, there's always initial reports. It's like, you know, oh, Sam Presti intends to keep Chris Paul and build along him and use him as a mentor for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and maybe push for a low-key playoff with Danilo Gallinari,
sure.
Steve Adams, blah, blah, blah.
I can see that, yep.
And then, like, you know, literally, like, 2 hours later, it's like, oh, they're looking to accommodate a trade to get Chris Paul where he wants to go. So it's just like, you believe everything with a grain of salt because things can change on a whim so drastically.
This
in
could
this
all
league.
Just be smoke and mirrors, but
I don't think
I
Chris
don't
Paul
know.
Wants to be in OKC, so that's the thing. But I don't know, and like you sort of said, what teams are going to be willing to give up. And I was surprised. I remember Zach Lowe sort of saying, you know, if you are a team trading for Russell Westbrook, you should not be giving up assets. Because he's a negative value contract.
Yes, yes.
But Chris Paul is also a negative value contract. Yes. So do the two.
That's what I mean. Like they're both. I'd say Chris Paul. Chris Paul's is less, but it's still expensive.
Horribly expensive.
Like and
he's a lot older.
Yeah. And a lot worse.
And so
well, not a lot worse. But
via
worse.
By just like contract status, you know, the Houston Rockets have the better player, and because of his contract. But I think that you know you look at obviously. It depends on how you value these future picks as well. Like you're talking about like
they were unprotected picks as well, were they not?
I can't remember if they were like unprotected or 1-4 or something like that, which is essentially you know pretty
it's
close to unprotected. And I mean in 2024, 2026 or whenever they are, you know, you're talking about years into the future where who knows what the Houston Rockets will be then. They could be, you know, a lottery team. But we'll move on to teams who aren't doing lottery things and players who aren't doing lottery things. And this is via a Twitter post, Nicholas. Cuffs the legend. Kawhi low-key doing everything that people bash Bron for, but he gets a pass because he's socially awkward. Lol.
Mate, we have the best sources on this.
We do. We have plenty of source. The source level is high on this podcast.
It is drowning in source.
Yes.
So, Cuffs the Cuffs the legend. This is somewhat true.
Is there double standards, Nick?
100%. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And one of the major things, this is a Wikipedia fact for me, because there are some things that Kawhi does that LeBron does not do.
Yeah.
Like flop.
Yep.
And that's why people hate LeBron. And that's why they hate him going to the
used
line.
Used to flop. That was the old one.
Come on, man. I've seen him in a Lakers uniform.
Have you seen, like, the fouls that he doesn't get because he's...
Sure. Sure.
He needs
but
to
Kawhi
flop.
has the same problem. Are you kidding?
But like Kawhi,
does not get. You're saying that LeBron is the only player in this league that does not get foul calls.
I think LeBron James is the player in the league who gets the least amount of foul calls for the game that he plays. He could get a foul call probably on every single drive in the same vein as James Harden, but people would hate him for that reason, like James Harden, and that would bring back the sort of Bron haters.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like James Harden and LeBron James.
But I think
like
they're
James
talking
Harden
about
and Kawhi
the,
Leonard. Do
they're talking about the free agency
well.
Sort of stuff, don't you?
Sure. Okay. In that,
because obviously Kawhi's low key trying to team up with superstars and stuff, and because he's doing it, he's not necessarily the biggest personality out there. Whereas LeBron and the Lakers and Rich Paul and Mav Carter are a lot more vocal in their desires and how they want to build teams and such. LeBron is he gets bashed for it. And, I mean, I get it.
It can keep going.
I get it, but at the same time. I understand it because I think that there is a lot of hate for what LeBron has done, but he has ushered in this era that is benefiting the league and the players, and I am all for that. And without what LeBron, the standard that he set from the late 2000s to the early 2010s, we wouldn't have players demanding trades. And I get that there is a fine balance, but with how you balance organizational stability with the likes of that. But at the same time, I think this is for the benefit of the league and the benefit of the players. And at the end of the day, I went on a bit of a rant on the outlet that this is about this is a player-empowered league because the players are what drive the league's product. They provide us with what we watch and what we, we love these trades. We love watching them on the court. We love the awesome performances in the playoffs and the triple doubles. So I think it needs to be all centered around the players. Yes, it needs to be, thought about, I don't care about the owners and what they want. I care about the fans to an extent. Mm. But at the end of the day, and maybe this is naive for me coming from a team that is in a large market and they just got two of the biggest superstars in free agency. But Bron Dutt did get a whole heap of shit. Kawhi hasn't gotten anything, but at the same time, I think this is a Twitter fact because, based off the free agency stuff, I think it's a Twitter fact because Kawhi's done it, once, and then the demanding out of San Antonio, and he's done it, obviously under the radar. Yeah, I get that he does it, and he's, not the biggest personality about it, but it's apples and oranges, and I say that, I say this in the sense that I don't think LeBron deserved to be bashed in the first place either.
Sure, I agree. I was very vocal on my decision to support Kevin Durant in leaving OKC.
Yeah, I've come a lot more around to that now that he's on my team.
Of course. But I agree. I mean, he got bashed pretty hard for leaving to Miami.
Yeah.
Mainly because he was leaving his hometown. Sort of giving up on the team in the city. That's what it came across as.
The decision.
Exactly.
Could you imagine Kawhi having an ESPN special? I could just imagine the iPhone notes, how people post tweets like that? That's what Kawhi Leonard's decision would be. It wouldn't be an actual tweet. It would be an iPhone notes screenshot going to Clippers. Mm. That's all it would be. Whereas LeBron, because he thrives in the limelight, he thrives in that sort of chaos.
It's different again. It's all public perception because Kawhi
perception
went,
is reality though, Nick.
Off the top of your head, do you know where Kawhi went in the draft?
It was 15.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Generational players do not go 15th in the draft.
Yeah.
LeBron James has been hyped up since he was in high school.
He was. Yeah.
He has been touted as the savior for a very, very long time. The king. And when that player gives up on his hometown and his franchise, that stings.
Yeah.
When Kawhi's situation of leaving, very, very different.
Yeah.
He went to a team, won them a championship, and then decided to leave. He didn't give up on the Raptors.
Yeah. Are you saying LeBron gave up on the Cleveland Cavaliers?
No. Okay. But that's what people
perceive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I am completely fine with the chops and changes.
Yeah.
But the context behind Kawhi's leaving to the Clippers and joining the super team is very different.
Because of his personality. And because of
it's not because of his personality.
I think it's because of his I think it is what you say, and I also think it is because of his personality. I think both factors.
Sure.
Play
I mean,
a
if
part.
You don't rock the if you don't rock the boat, if you're not vocal, if you sort of keep yourself
inward,
you
introverted.
Can't really. If you're introverted, I mean, if you start bashing on a guy that's introverted, you're just a dick.
Yeah. But like, you know,
you can always hate an extrovert.
Did you see the Kawhi? I think Kawhi Leonard was at like the Kids' Choice Awards or something, or some Los Angeles event, and there was a lady who was trying to get him on like on pointers. Like,
oh yeah,
and he's just like, no, and she's like, it's not that hard. I'm just like, bitch, please, Kawhi Leonard,
it's Kawhi Leonard,
let him do what he wants to do. But moving on to a player who will be hoping he can get some major credit and credence like those two, DeMarcus Cousins, Nick, will be an All Star next season.
He has openly come out and said he will try to play 82 games.
Looking slim. He shouldn't be saying that, by the way. I get the funnily enough, that's exactly what D'Angelo Russell said last season. I think he played 81 games. I get it from the point of view and the fact that, you know, I want to be healthy enough to play as many games as possible. But he shouldn't be wanting to play 82 games.
It's more of a statement of confidence to the fans as well.
Yeah.
Like, I am locked in. I'm ready to go. I'm as healthy as I ever was. And like,
do you want me to give you the quote, Nick?
Is a mental thing. Yeah,
I'll give you the quote, obviously, for those that haven't heard it. I'm working my tail off every single day. Every single day. My quad is 100% healed. I'm building it up every day. I'm getting stronger, getting in better shape. My plan is to come into camp in tip-top shape. And then my goal is to play 82 games this season. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an all-star just because of the fan vote. He obviously has that. He's in an incredibly large market, and he can put up numbers.
It's quite a drastic turnaround you're talking about, because he didn't even look close to being a shadow of an all-star.
That was health. If he's healthy, DeMarcus Cousins going to be an all-star? Yeah. I'll throw that out. But, I mean, we can talk about...
I think his mobility is what made him so good. His combination of strength and mobility was...
He's never been horribly mobile, though.
Unparalleled, yes, but he was like, it's a nice balance. You've got
the equilibrium.
But he was obviously more strong than he was mobile. Yeah, yeah. But like Shaq was regarded as incredibly mobile, but he's not. He wasn't like a Jason Kidd mobility.
No, he didn't have like athleticism of you know peak John Wall.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
So, but for a big guy who could move, man, and Boogie, given his supreme strength, could still move, and he had great footwork. Like I think. That level of, like, that little bit of explosiveness is gone.
Yeah.
You saw it in the playoffs, and I don't think it's coming back.
You don't think it's coming back at all?
No.
Okay, interesting. Well, because if the quad injury that he suffered was similar to Kawhi Leonard, and I think quad injuries are incredibly complicated. And I mean, different players...
50, 60 pounds and more than that.
Again, he is looking pretty trim. He's on a new diet, all this sort of stuff.
Sure.
Will he be an all-star next season? Can't say 100% no, because...
I am.
You're an alternative? Fans, I'll go Twitter because...
Sorry, Boogie.
I think he... Because the all-star is about the fans and the fan vote at the end
it's
of the day.
It's also in the West as well. You gotta think of it.
Is the fan vote only about the starters and the reserves are picked by the coaches? I'm pretty sure isn't that the system?
I think it is.
So yeah, I'll go alternate fact then, because as a starter, you look at the front court, it'll be, you know, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic. Isn't that what or like, you know, LeBron?
Well, I think there's three forwards,
forwards that will like,
but
you know,
it'll be LeBron will be in there.
LeBron, Anthony Davis, and I would have Nikola Jokic. So just like right,
you're
now.
Not going to have a third Laker.
You might.
Oh, you're not. They're not going to be that good.
But the fans are going to be that obsessed. And
do you know where the is it in LA this year?
I don't know where it is. Look it up for
me. I think it might be New Orleans for some reason. No, that was recently.
No, it was a couple
of
years ago.
Recently.
Okay. DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah, I think he's going to have a bounce back season. Let's put it that way.
All-star. He's a long way off from an all star.
It's in Chicago. All right, there we go.
Chicago.
Sorry to all our Chicago listeners, if we have any. We'll move on to a guy who's been rumored with Chicago many, many years ago. That's Carmelo Anthony. And Chauncey Billups had a few things to say about him.
I tell you what, it's so crazy. I feel bad for Melo, and here's why. Melo was like a good teammate, man.
It's a great Melo guy.
Melo practiced every day. He didn't miss any games. Now, the only thing I will say, and I've even told Melo this, scoring 30 meant too much to Melo.
Mm.
It meant too much. Because he could have games where he had 20-22, we win the game, and he's mad. He might have 36, and he's in there, you know, we lose the game, and he's in there picking everybody up. scoring 30 meant too much. But I think now you look fast forward to tape, and the reason why he's not in the league, because he's still worthy, is he hasn't mentally taken that step back to say, okay, I'll come in and play against backups. I'll try to help the team out. I know I might not be able to close, but I just want to help.
Carmelo Anthony is not in the league anymore because he's not willing to settle for a lesser role. Thank you for those kind words, Chauncey.
They're not kind words.
Sure. Kind to us because he
provides us content.
Yeah, true.
Cheers, Chauncey. Fact, Nick. I think it's as fact as it gets because, you know, that sort of story that he was sort of...
I mean, this has been the... Like, people have known this for ages.
People have thought this, but now we know it. Because this is from the, not the horse's mouth, but like the pony's mouth.
But he's even said himself, at that press conference when he went to the Rockets, he's like, I'm not settling for anything less than
a
starting role.
That was OKC, wasn't it? Oh, no, maybe. It was probably both.
I mean, yeah. Like, this has been known of Melo for ages. You can see it in his style of play. He gets the ball, he's shooting.
But at the same time, I don't think he's taking, like, horrible shots. I think he just still wants to get his numbers. And, like, I think Chauncey's story about, like, you know, when he's... He would get, like, he's 30-plus, and he would be happier than when he would get 20-ish and the team would win.
Mm.
Which speaks, I guess, to his personality. And maybe he has changed that. And maybe he's had some time in a similar sort of way when we're talking about self-reflection in relation to Russell Westbrook. Has Kamala had that time to self-reflect and realize, look, if I want to be in this league still, if I want to be a Jared Dudley, Vince Carter sort of veteran role presence type, I need to realize that I can be a mentor presence in the locker room and provide, you know, lessons about my experiences. I can influence in a way, you know, the up and coming players of the NBA. I can teach them the right habits. I can teach them my skill set. I can teach them how to play in the post. Because I think post scoring, Carmelo Anthony is an incredible post scorer. Sure. We've seen him, like, and he's been one of the best scorers of all time. He is an absolute bona fide Hall of Famer legend. But he's not in the league anymore because of the reason Chauncey said. He hasn't been able to sacrifice and go, look, this is where I'm at. You know, I think I can still hit a few spot-up threes here and there. Vince Carter still, like, you know, for Atlanta last season was playing, you know, 20 minutes-ish because he was hitting some threes, he was still able to hit a few dunks, and he was spacing the floor, realizing that Trae Young is the star on this team. Kevin Huerter provides more in this team. John Collins provides more in this team. You know, can Kamal Anthony go to Denver and say, look, this is Nikola Jokic's team, this is Jamal Murray's team. You know, I want to help these guys and make them better. Or is he too selfish to do so? And I think it sounds mean to call him selfish, but from all the stories that we've heard and for why he's not in the league today, he certainly seems it.
I mean, you're 100% correct. He doesn't want to be perceived as the Jared Dudley of the team. Like, that is a
slight to his
100%. He thinks that
ego.
That's a slight.
Yeah.
And he I don't know. Unless something massively changes, right now he would say, I would rather not play in the league than play like that.
Do you think that's dumb?
100%. Like, he has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
Was a great player.
Yeah. Had great experiences. You know, he's in
one of the
playoffs.
One of the best individual scorers, ISO scorers,
ever.
That the game has ever seen.
Yeah, he's an insane scorer.
And in the playoffs, that can be very, very helpful. Can you teach Jamal Murray how to you know, ISO score, please? Like,
yeah.
He would be great as a mentor, because I still think from that point of view, from that perspective, he has a lot to offer.
Yeah, and I think that, does he realize that that's what he could offer? Does he realize that he could offer more his skill set isn't, like, you know, at the point where he can put up even 20 to 22 a night, like Chauncey was saying. But I think if Carmelo can realize it, you know, he can provide value in this league. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's going to be up to him. But we'll move on to the Philadelphia 76ers. And Nick, their recently re-signed James Ennis III said, the Sixers are going to walk to the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you want the full... you know, click on it for me, because it's going to take a while for me to actually load up and type in the password to my computer.
Yeah,
full quote to the Philadelphia Inquirer, because it's a good... Why he re-signed with the Sixers. It's a good team and a good chance of winning. The East is going to be wide open. We had a good chance last year. Kawhi is gone. He went to the West. So we are going to walk to the finals in the East. Walk.
No. Alternative fact.
Finals in the East, though.
They're not going to walk there, Jack.
They're going to jog.
They're going to play seven. They're going to play some games of basketball.
They are. They will.
It will not be an easy road.
It will be how? Okay, so
it'll be easier, sure. But they didn't even make the finals this year.
Well, they were four bounces away from making it. Or do you? Are you not buy into that narrative?
I don't buy into that.
But like we talked about the fact that like Danny Green was sort of saying that the Raptors found, you know, as an opponent, the Philadelphia 76ers more challenging, and I think that
sure, I appreciate that they're not going to walk there though because Milwaukee.
Give me a type of sort of exercise that they're going to get there. Are they meandering? Are they jogging?
They might not even get there.
Ooh, hot take.
Given the
hot take.
Given the 76ers
health. Is that what's going to
like? What I don't know. Them? I shooting,
and we sort of chatted about it a little bit.
There, I don't know how their offensive schemes are going to work. And 10 games into the season, this might be the stupidest take in history. But yep. Right now, I don't know how they generate offense. And you know, Brett Brown might be, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, baby.
You know, cooking. He'd be cooking.
Yep.
Some dank plays.
Yep.
And it might all turn out all right.
Ben Simmons might get a jumper.
I am not. I mean, he is taking. Did you hear about him taking the FIBA?
I'm glad he didn't get tickets for that.
So am I. He was the reason I wanted to go. Oh man, people are pissed.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Get healthy soon.
Hopefully,
Ben.
Hopefully it means he'll have time to develop a shot.
Because he's not spending time with Kendall Jenner anymore. Kyle Kuzma's now hanging out with Kendall Jenner.
Ooh.
She's got a tight.
Bang. Oh yeah, she does.
She just likes basketballs. Yep. She went out with Blake Griffin before Ben Simmons as well.
She likes large men.
Large power forwards. Power forwards are like there have to be like 6'9" or above. Because I think Kyle Kuzma is like 6'8", 6'9".
That's a short window.
Okay, so who are the power forwards in Los Angeles right now or adjacent? Because I think Ben Simmons would probably have a place there. But I think that what you're saying is valid, Nick, in the regular season. But I think as long as the Sixers get to a top four seed, they might walk to the finals because
Are they that good? Are they that much better than the Bucks?
But that's the other team in the finals. There's two teams in the finals, aren't there, Nick?
Are we talking conference finals?
It says in the East. I mean. That's like, I think that they could briskly walk. They could power walk to the finals.
Okay.
Like, you know, do you remember Catherine Kim when Kel would walk?
Yes.
They're power walking to the finals.
They're Kel walking.
All our Aussie fans and American fans that love Catherine Kim, you'll get it. I think that they're almost, barring any unforeseen circumstances for Joel Embiid, and like, you know, he plays at least 60 games, and he has some health. I think that they're better maybe they're not better placed than last season, but I think because, like James Ennis said, Kawhi's gone, and I think this team is built, you know, their size in the postseason was their greatest strength. And yes, it can be an issue when it comes to shooting and such, but when it comes to the postseason, that's why we lost so heavily to them. You know, because of their size. And we exploited them at times.
Heavily? It was like...
five games.
Oh, I thought it was 4-2.
No, we won the first game and you know, we could have won the other games.
That's right.
But that's also, conversely, where they can be beaten. You know, but with smaller guards who can attack them like that. Be it a Kyrie Irving. Be it a... You know, there aren't really, you know, really great ones there anymore in the East. If they had to be taking on a Stephen Curry or a Damian Lillard, then it might be a little more challenging for them. But I think that they're well placed to even they're well placed to jog to the finals. You know, I'm pretty high on the Sixers, and obviously there's still some things that need to happen, and you know that take could quite easily change after 20 or 30 games. But I'm pretty confident in what they've built. Obviously, there are people down on Brett Brown's coaching. I know you're a big fan of his. He's gonna have to come up with some new schemes and some new wacky sort of stuff. Ben Simmons is gonna have to improve.
It might work out, but it's so hard, given like
what's the other team that
struggled to? But that's the other thing. I struggle to see how they're going to generate offense. But then, what's the other team in the East that's going
Pacers,
to?
I mean, Raptors, Magic. Celtics.
Not Magic. Heat with Jimmy buckets.
No, they're under I would have them under Boston and Toronto.
Yeah, Boston with Kemba, like new look Boston, but they're not. They're just flyers. Like they're not convincing. Yeah, okay, that team can challenge.
Yeah, but we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, but you know they look good so far. Maybe the verb of exercise, James Ennis should have been briskly walking or Kel walking. Watching Catherine Kim, baby. Shannon Sharp, Nicholas. Let's get to him. He's got some takes on Damian Lillard.
When last time Dame Lillard took less than the max? So what Dame Lillard is going to be is a guy that's going to make probably $400 million with zero titles. He's going to be one of the richest players in NBA history with zero titles. Nobody remembers a guy that made a bunch of money playing sports. Only if you won titles, Dame. And if you don't believe me, ask Kevin Garnett. I want you to talk to Kevin Garnett in another year or two, because he said, I should have left early. Earlier. Stayed in Minnesota. He wanted to grind it out. He didn't want... But you know what? At the end of the day, Skip, if you play a sport, it's about titles.
So, Nick, Damian Lillard will be quickly forgotten when his career is finished because he'll never win a championship. God, I hate...
Alternative fact.
Yes.
There are a myriad or a plethora of people...
You're stealing my words and that's okay.
I stole both of them as well.
You did.
Of players that have not won championships...
Should we do some word tennis, some player tennis?
And have gone to win... and have gone to be very remembered...
Revered.
And
Hall of Famous.
Celebrated players in the league.
Let's do some back and forth, Nick.
All right, the first one that comes to my mind...
Yeah.
Charles Barkley.
Yep, he gets plenty of shit for it.
But his fame, I believe, came from Space Jam.
Absolutely. Absolutely it did.
Just like someone else who I can think of.
Patrick Ewing.
Aha, there it is. Yeah, very nice.
Both remembered. Patrick Ewing is revered as one of the greatest Knicks of all time.
Staying on the center train, being Karl Malone. The postman.
The postman. Post doesn't deliver on Sundays, though. So it's not delivering today when we are doing this podcast.
That's true.
But we are delivering you a podcast on Sunday.
And his counterpart. Teammate. Teammate, yes.
Yep.
John Stockton.
One of the greatest point guards, most assists, one of the best passers in the history of the game.
100%. A prototypical point guard.
Absolutely.
Speaking of point guards, Allen Iverson also never won a championship.
Who is he? I don't remember him, though, Shannon. I don't remember who Allen Iverson is.
It's like saying people have forgotten Hall of Famers. Like, Elgin Baylor's in there. He never won a ring.
Dominique Wilkins.
Like, there are so many players. I mean, even players now.
Yeah.
You reckon we're going to quickly forget about Chris Paul?
Who?
Yeah, I mean, like, exactly. It's the worst narrative because there is so much more. Sure, I agree with what he said at the end. You play professional sports to win titles.
Yeah.
But that winning titles is not the be-all and end-all of a career.
Yeah.
So you can establish yourself as a very revered and celebrated player.
Yeah.
Be one of the best in your position without winning rings. And like Tracy McGrady, another one.
Yeah.
He was famous for 11 points in... A minute?
Yeah, 30
no,
seconds.
No, it was less. It was much less than that.
Nick,
like crazy.
We
like,
could get a lot done in 30 seconds.
Damn right. Steve Nash as well.
Steve Nash, 7 seconds or less.
The European, Canadian, South African.
Nick was just astounded by the fact he was born in South Africa.
I went on his Wikipedia because I always thought he was European. Because that's just how he acts.
Plays soccer.
So he acts European.
He looks European. He's got very suave, nice haircut.
100%. He's from Johannesburg in South America. And his nationality...
South America.
And his nationality is regarded as Canadian.
Yeah. He's lived in Canada his whole life.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Just nuts.
It's a wild, wild day for...
Russell Westbrook has never won a ring as well.
And is he going to be, like, he's a Hall of Famer, top
100
player ever?
He broke the Big O's record that was seemingly untouchable.
Had a 20-20-20 game.
He will be remembered for all time for that.
You know another guy's going to be remembered, Nick? Vince Carter.
VC.
VC, baby.
100%. He's 42 years old and still
22
dunking.
22 years, most years of playing, most seasons... playing in basketball history, but he hasn't won a championship.
Sure, these players
won a championship, don't they?
These players won't be remembered for the championships because they don't have any, but they will be remembered for their skill. They'll be remembered for anything they do off the court and on the court, being like Vince Carter's like one of the best dunkers of all time. He will be remembered for that.
I guess I'll throw something at you. It's like Klay Thompson is going to go down as an all-time. He already is, but is he, you know, better all-time than Chris Paul? I don't know. Like, does the championship make him a better player of all time? I personally don't think so, because I think Chris Paul's you know, individual stardom and individual longevity and individual transformational abilities
if,
make him a better player and all-timer than not having a ring.
100%. Like, it's on the flip side as well. Like, who's going to remember that Anderson Varejão has two rings?
Anderson Varejão, yeah, nice one. Good,
right?
Good take.
Like, if it. Steve Kerr wasn't a head coach of the great of one of the greatest teams ever,
yeah,
he would be forgotten as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You don't think of Steve Kerr, like, he hit the game winner one of those.
Yeah.
But you don't think of Steve
I
Kerr.
I think he's at the highest three-point percentage in playoff history, I think, as like, well. One of those things.
He is not more revered than Charles Barkley.
No, not at all. And then, it's the argument that probably we agree on the most, which is funny to say. And
it's a
we
shame, because of the two...
You like Shannon, yeah.
Of the two, Shannon is not Skip.
He's not.
And I'm like, you could put me next to Skip, and I'd sound like a bloody expert.
You would. You do, mate. You do. You provide wonderful takes on this podcast. But we'll get to some Space Jam news. It wouldn't be complete without Space Jam updates on JBT. Don Cheadle, Nick, is a hollow Bill Murray replacement for Space Jam 2.
I love Don Cheadle.
You a fan of Don Cheadle?
Yep, I like Don Cheadle.
Marvel.
I really liked him as the Marvel replacement. He was in Ocean's 11.
Oh yeah.
Uncredited.
Yeah.
He decided to go uncredited for that.
Uncredited.
100%.
You get the money for it?
Yeah, he would have got paid for it, but he didn't get any credits for it. Which I found strange. Anyway, he was awesome in that.
Yeah.
He was the guy who set off the EMP over the whole city. Anyway,
right.
If you've seen it.
Spoiler alert.
And I mainly loved him in, House of Lies.
Ah, right.
The Showtime
show. Yeah, I haven't watched it, but some...
The first few seasons, pretty good.
Some solid Don Cheadle takes. I like it.
So I'm a fan of John Cheadle, but this is 100% fact.
It's 100 million percent.
You can't replace Bill Murray.
No. And if not, maybe they...
This is the same thing with Aladdin, Will Smith, and Robin Williams. You can't replace the genie.
No.
As good a job as Will Smith apparently had done,
I've heard some decent things.
But it's Robin Williams, man. Yeah. You're dealing with a all-time great.
But Bill Murray's still alive, at least. So, like, they can still get him.
That's fair.
Like,
He's an old man, though.
LeBron, do your thing. At least have him in the crowd, like, you know, just clapping Go Bulls at least once.
You need to have, like, a Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. Is Dan Aykroyd still alive? I'm just going to assume yes. Yeah, like a Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray sort of. Because the joke in the first one...
Yeah.
Are they going to get Danny DeVito back?
They have to get Danny DeVito back.
Oh, my God. I haven't thought of any of this.
They have to get Danny DeVito back. Have to. If they don't, it's a freaking travesty. Danny DeVito and Bill Murray are...
100%.
Make the movie. As good as Bugs and Daffy are... Actually, Daffy's pretty
good. This is actually a perfect time, mate, because this I've never used this soundbite, but it's perfect.
God, it works. We need Bill Murray.
I mean, we're a big fan of Space Jam, mainly because of Bill Murray. There are a whole bunch of other things.
Perhaps he can be of some assistance to LeBron James in Space Jam, too.
I didn't know Dan Aykroyd was in this picture.
Oh, man, we could quote Space Jam. Off-season, we've got to get some Space Jam related.
But yes, 100% Don Cheadle. Sorry, mate, I love you. Oh, but those are some big shoes
to fill.
It's a
house of lies if he's going to be replacing. Nice. Nick, we'll get to one of our final videos. Drew Holiday. His general manager had some things to say about him.
Yeah, you said you asked him, do you want to be the MVP? Do you think that's something he's capable of being?
I do, and nobody thought Steve Nash was, and he was two-time MVP, and right. People would have thought we were insane for even uttering that notion. Players in this league are so gifted. When you're as good as Drew Holiday is... What makes you take the next step is just your vision of self. And sometimes you need to be given permission to dominate people. And in his situation with Anthony around, I think he was always sort of waiting as though it was Anthony's job. And now Drew knows it's his job, and he's ready to do that.
Mate, I love me some Davey G.
I love it when you count yourself in as well, Nick.
Some Davey G, some Griff Dog.
G, Griffos.
Yeah, this is...
So Drew Holiday is definitely winning MVP next season. I'm putting my tax return on.
He makes you feel that way, doesn't he?
Like, certainly does.
He makes you feel like everything... He could have said that the earth is flat
and, Jackson,
and I would be 100% on
board. He could say Jackson Hayes is going to win Rookie of the Year over Zion Williamson. I'm like, dude, like Jackson Hayes, did you see that dunk in Summer League?
Oh man, that was brutal.
Was insane.
The way that David Griffin speaks, it just I hang on to every single word that he says.
He's so eloquent.
And so you know, I was ready when I read this on the you know ever prepared document. That
it is
you,
always that prepared, Nicholas.
I read it and I'm like, no, what is this? Yeah. No, this is dumb. And then after listening to the quote,
Griff,
he puts forward some compelling arguments. Steve They're Nash very thought driven yes. stuff. He's a beautifully eloquent man, and he's getting me to believe that Jrue Holiday could win the MVP this year.
I think he will. He's the before we realized our mics weren't working, you made the apt comparison. He's the Stephen Fry of general managers. He just puts forth arguments. He's
just every word he says is just poetry.
He's David Attenborough like. It's an alternative fact. We need to get back to.
I want to see. Like, he's got the backing of his GM.
Yeah,
he's obviously got the backing of the team. What can he do with the tools he's been given? And that's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, like, he was sort of given the reins to an extent. That's where he proved himself. And then, obviously, like you said, he had to take a backseat to Anthony Davis. But we're going to see. And Jrue Holiday,
it's going to be some growing pains. He's going to have to realize that, hey, I don't have AD now. I need to do this.
Yeah, he's going to
have to. I think that's got to take some time to readjust.
It'll be interesting because he had a sensational, like, near all NBA season last season if he had been healthy. I saw him in person last season as well. Probably one of the best point guard defenders I've seen in person, but, you know, I haven't seen, you know, many games in person. But he was just tremendous in how he is as a defender and ability as a defender to defend upper position. You know, he's got plenty of an incredibly versatile skill set. Is it MVP level? No.
But
that doesn't take
will
away.
Will Jrue Holiday be an All Star next season? I reckon that's a hell of a lot more likely.
Yeah, I mean,
Pelicans won't be necessarily good.
I think he's more likely than who we said earlier than DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I agree
because I think the coaches will love him and that sort of thing. So yeah, I think that. Maybe we put up a poll or something, but yeah, I think Jrue Holiday has an amazing skill set. It's not MVP level because, you know, you got Giannis and LeBron and AD, all those sort of guys.
The usual suspects, yep.
The usual suspects, but another guy who's not going to be an MVP, Nicholas.
That is a cold segue, but it's so true.
And a hot burn. Dennis Smith Jr., Nick, the Knicks can hit the playoffs.
If by hit they mean knock out, because they won't be in the playoffs.
So not them. Yeah.
I don't know if that works.
It doesn't work.
But they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Okay.
Alternative fact.
Yes.
The Knicks will nick.
Yep.
And be bad.
But they've got...
No, Josh Jack.
Gibson.
No.
They've got Marcus Morris.
Don't sell me on this.
They've got Mitchell Robinson.
You're not David Griffin.
They've got... I'm really not. I wish I could. RJ Barrett is doing some nice things at Summer League.
Sure, but... I mean, the East is bad.
That's the thing.
Are they going to finish higher than the Wizards?
Yes.
You said that so confidently. their
collection of talent is greater than Bradley Beal. That's just all it has to be.
Rui Hachimura is lighting up Summer League.
RJ Barrett is doing better at Summer League than Rui Hachimura.
Rui's got 20 points a game.
The start of the Summer League, RJ was doing badly, but he's hit some form.
20 points a game, baby.
Yes, all right, Rui Hachimura, you're starting small forward.
He's doing some step back stuff. Yeah, I like it.
Shut up.
but no, this is. I mean, there's no point talking about this.
I'm going to give it an alternative fact.
The Knicks aren't worth my mouth time.
Your mouth time. Interesting. I think that they're a sneaky chance to make it.
I disagree.
The East is pretty, like...
The East is wide open, sure. But it's the Knicks, man. I can't say it.
Fair enough. It's weird that a Brooklyn Nets fan is actually giving them more credence. But we'll move on to a similarly shit overpaid point guard. My birds are top-notch today, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Rozier's agent Aaron Turner said this. This time next year, the Terry Rozier contract will be looked at as a bargain.
Do we have two quick fire takes in a row? Because it's an alternative fact.
It is an alternative.
What the hell?
3 years, $58 million, Nicholas. It's a bargain. It's what a are you talking bargain, about?
Sure. Oh, man.
Is he living upside down?
Unless he turns into like a Lou Williams type sixth man.
No, he's starting.
But that's what I mean. Like, but that's his ceiling.
He's got a lot of
deficiencies. He could be a great sixth man.
If he is the best version of himself of what he showed in Boston, in the playoffs against Philadelphia and stuff, that's still not worth $19 million a season. That's still not worth that. Like, and like...
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
As a... Okay, let's go...
I was going to disagree.
Let's go...
He was great.
Scary
Terry, baby.
Yeah, he was scary. Now he's scary bad. Because he was horrible this season. And there was a lot of reasons why, but, you know, he was bad. He's bad.
He was my sixth man of the year.
Yeah, and another take that... Nick's had a good take today, but he balances out.
Yeah,
He's self-reflecting. Melo can learn a thing or two, ladies and gentlemen. But I think if you look at some other sort of starting point guard deals that have sort of been dished out, you know, Ricky Rubio got overpaid with 3 years, $51 million.
Yeah.
I would have been slightly happier with that, with Terry Rozier, but it still would have been an overpay. I think that the right margin for him was what Kemba Walker sort of got, you know, when his first deal with Charlotte was 4 years, $48 million.
I like how it's this time next year as well, because, like, that's only a year to completely change
the narrative, like, change his
that's,
game.
No, it's an alternative fact.
It's an alternative fact, but Terry, prove us wrong and make us scared of you. But, Nick... can you press the music for Brooklyn Bits, please?
I can in...
Can you press it for me? I'm going to count you down. Ten.
I'm working on it.
Nine.
Eight. Okay.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Woo. Woo. Woo, woo, woo. Colin Cowherd's got one for me, Nick. Let's go to CC.
Kevin Durant didn't choose Brooklyn. Kevin Durant chose Kyrie Irving. The general manager of Brooklyn never even had a meeting with Kevin Durant. How did he find out Kevin was coming? On Kevin Durant's Instagram. That's the story, and this is why I have problems with it. When I look at Kevin Durant going to the Nets, what I see is Kevin Durant left a giver, Steph Curry. Here, I'll space better. You shoot. It's your team. You win the title. I'll back off. To a taker. LeBron, too much. Brad Stevens, I won't listen. Jason Tatum, confrontational. It's a choice you make. I wouldn't make it. They'll win a bunch of games. I don't doubt that. They're super talented. But you read the story today. Kevin Durant never talked to Brooklyn. He didn't choose that coach. He didn't choose that GM. He didn't choose that city. He chose that player.
So, Jackie boy, for our last
Colin
take.
Cow.
Our last take here via Colin Coward. You heard it there. Kevin Durant didn't choose Brooklyn. He chose Kyrie Irving. Thoughts?
Twitter, because yes, Kyrie Irving was a part of the process, but I think that he was dissuaded by everything that was happening in New York, and it seemed to me, yes, I get that, you know, he found it off Instagram because that's what Sean Marks said. But Sean Marks also had to say that, because if he didn't, he could have got a tampering charge, because it's like, no, yeah, we had meetings with Kevin Durant. Yeah, I'm supposed to say this. He said that because he didn't want to get fined, because you're not supposed to have meetings with free agents before free agency hits. So, I mean, Colin Cowherd is only going to report what he sees. And I think Colin Cowherd's not as bad as, you know, Skip Bayless and the like. And I get some of the things that he's saying. But I don't understand why so many people are so down on the fact that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are joining up. Like, what is so bad about it? Like, they're friends, cool, and they can be good basketball friends too. I don't disagree. And one of the head medical staff in Brooklyn is the same guy that is one of is the person that Kevin Durant chose to see to get his Achilles injury evaluated. So that is a point that I think plays in part due to the fact of why he was probably drawn to Brooklyn as well. So yes, he chose Kyrie Irving, but he didn't just choose Kyrie Irving.
I think there's more Kyrie Irving choice in there than you're giving credit to. Sure, I agree with the whole thing with Sean Marks finding out on Instagram, you know, whatever. The anti-tamp, like, trying to prevent a tampering charge, I agree. That is completely fine. But Kyrie could have moved anywhere in the NBA and KD would have followed.
So you're saying he would have gone to the Knicks?
I think so.
I don't think
But Kyrie wouldn't have chosen for the Knicks because of all the things you just said. Like, Brooklyn was the obvious choice for Kyrie.
So don't those
but
same...
ultimately, it was Kyrie's choice.
But don't those same decisions influence Kevin Durant's decision making?
I don't think so, because what influences Kyrie's decision making were all the things that you said.
It seems a little simplistic to just derive it down to Kyrie Irving. That's just about just like
I'm sure they would have met and they would have talked. I mean, you've seen the conversations in the locker room. Obviously, we don't know what was said. In like the hallway, like they've been talking during the season.
Yeah.
And I think Kyrie's choice to Brooklyn was
Bobby
a home,
Porter said in February
was
we
a
said
home
this last
time
week.
Thing. Was a hometown thing. Obviously, the Nets have a beautiful organization. But ultimately, if Kyrie had strong feelings about the Knicks, then I think both of them would have moved there.
I think it's just a little...
The Clippers, like anywhere. It could have been anywhere.
Well, yeah, I think I get it to an extent. But I don't like the narrative, and I think it's derivative to just say that he's just going with Kyrie Irving, because I think that it takes away from Kevin Durant's individual liberty and like the fact that like he's just going with Kyrie Irving's going, and it just seems incredibly derivative and like almost insulting to an extent. And I mean, I get it, and I agree with you and with Colin Coward to an extent of the decision making, but. Making such a massive life decision isn't just based off like, all right, if you're choosing to like, you know, move house, Nick, and you're going to a completely different suburb, or you're going interstate, and you're just going, well, I'm going with you. And it's just like, no, like, I'll choose that because, you know, I want to see, like, do I like this city as well? Do I like this organization? I think Kevin Durant went to the same college as Jared Allen.
But does Kevin Durant go to Brooklyn if Kyrie doesn't go?
Well, maybe because DeAndre Jordan would have gone there. I think, and I did a thread on DeAndre Jordan and Kevin Durant's friendship on my Facebook, not my Facebook, on my Twitter page. Their relationship is a lot stronger than Kyrie Irving's and Kevin Durant's. And I think
he wants to win.
Pardon?
He wants to win. Kyrie being there gives him the avenue to win championships with Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I think that he's less on the sort of I think his satisfaction as a basketball player is beyond championships now and dominance now. But yeah, in 2020, 2021, the Nets, if Kevin Durant comes back healthy, or it, you know, I talked about in the Brooklyn Buzz, me and Nick, that you know there's rumors that he could be back even before then. He could be back at the latter points of this season. But we'll certainly put this one out as a soundbite because I know a lot of my Nets fans will certainly enjoy it. But Nick, we're gonna be off unless there's some massive trades happening.
Yep.
We might do some pop culture, some off topic related episodes.
If a Chris Paul trade happens, we'll be back at you.
Bradley Beal trade happens, Nick will not want to be back, but we will be back for it.
I can't foresee any major moves now in the NBA. Seems to have slowed down.
But
so
we will give you some pop culture content throughout the offseason because we enjoy podcasting. As much as we tend to clash, and that's part of the bands, we do enjoy each other's presence and talking about fun stuff like basketball, food, pop culture, and the like.
Damn right.
Spiel?
You can take it away,
my
mate.
Spieling.
You can. I give you the privilege.
Thank you. That just about does it for another week, guys. So we'd just like to thank you all for tuning into Just Ball Things. You can catch us on Nothing But Net Dash Radio Channel, the Jumper Network now, and as always, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcast.
Player FM. We found
Player FM, yeah, online. FM. Really great sort of website for that as well. We are there. Do us a solid. Leave us a rating and review as well. It helps us out plentifully. Plentifully a word?
Plentifully. Sure.
Yeah, let's go with it. Remember, it's you guys who make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next time,
keep balling, superstars.